The wait is over. Dell Technologies Black Friday and July deals are live. Check out incredible savings on select laptops and more, like the XPS 15 powered by Intel Core processors. The XPS 15 brings you the perfect balance of power and portability, plus stellar visuals and immersive sound. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to exceptional tech and electronics, plus free shipping on everything. Don't miss out on Black Friday and July savings at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
I'm living my best life. Yeah, yeah.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Here's the other surprising part.
With guest host Brian Weber.
Yeah, big shoes to fill. Eisen's a legend.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles. The Rich Eisen Show.
Do you know who I am? I'm a guy on television. I have my own show.
And now, sitting in for Rich, here's Brian Weber.
Welcome to the program. Great to have you with us on this Independence Day. Indeed, we are live. We'll do it live. How can I demonstrate that I did not stick around after yesterday's program and put down 3 hours of lava-filled, sizzling sports hot takes on tape so I could have the day off? Well, I could count with the clock in front of me, but could have done that yesterday with time shifting. I can take a phone call. That would be a proof of life. 844-204-7424 is the phone number. Although, since I am a veteran of working holiday shifts for Mr. Eisen, I can tell you from experience, most people prefer to enjoy the audio experience on a holiday, especially when you have priorities like the beach, a barbecue, and fireworks coming up tonight. Although, did I miss something? Did we start July 4th 20 hours ago or so? Because when I left this studio here in Southern California, I'm Brian Weber. You can also hit me up on Twitter. Forget about the X thing. I don't work for Elon. I'm not in his pocket. You can tweet at me, BW Weber, Weber with two Bs. Here in Southern California, people were shooting off fireworks during the daylight hours. And then, because I take this role seriously, believe it or not, and I don't know why I'm this defensive 90 seconds into the program, I go to bed early. I get up early just in case there's breaking news. Good luck trying to sleep when my neighborhood became Beirut circa 1984 last night on the 3rd of July. So, Uncle Brian has already put aside the Tylenol PM for tonight because the pyrotechnics will be off the hook. So if I'm even more over the top tomorrow, because I'm sure right now I have reeled you in with the scintillating opening in advance, take my apology. Sometimes you got to take a sleeping pill to do your job. And with that, we're off and running because there's a lot to get to. I will have a conversation with you either by picking up the phone or heading over to social media, and we're going to follow the same winning blueprints, winning, in my estimation, of not overwhelming you with outside voices unless you want to contribute to the program as a phone caller. Just one guest per hour. And because I have reached the moment of saturation with NBA conversation, although I'm going to give you some general thoughts in about 90 seconds with the opening monologue, football is going to be a major focal point today, as it's always is the case on this program. It is the football show of record, after all. Mr. Eisen, the face of NFL Network. In 40 minutes, we take you across the NFL with training camps now less than 3 weeks away and a lot of interesting business decisions still out there on the horizon. When are the Dolphins going to pay Tua? When are the Cowboys going to figure out they have to do something, anything, with Dak Prescott and CeeDee Lamb? Looking forward to checking in with Trevor Sikkema, a Pro Football Focus. I still believe in baseball, especially on the 4th of July. In fact, part of me thinks we should just open the program by playing the greatest speech in the history of sports, the Lou Gehrig, I'm the luckiest man on the face of the earth speech, which happened on July 4th decades ago. We'll be more current, though. 1:40 Eastern time coming up in the next hour of the show. We'll take you round the bigs with Gabe Lux of USA Today. All-star starters announced last night. Shohei and Aaron Judge continue to do historic things. And then we'll wrap it up, 2:40 Eastern time, our third and final guest, talking NBA with my old friend Eric Pincus of Bleacher Report. We will spin it forward because there are moves still to be made. They're just not that earth-shattering. But remember, as we saw with the Celtics, yes, you need the Titanic tandem, as we go with alliteration. You need massive star power. In the case of Boston, that's Tatum and Brown, but you also need valuable role players. Boston would not have won that title without, say, Derek White, who got a nice payday this week, or I think the more important acquisition coming in last year's offseason was the pickup of Jrue Holiday with his lockdown defensive skills. I guess to demonstrate I'm live, I could paint the word picture as to what's going on in Coney Island, but I have never had any interest whatsoever in the gluttony of the hot dog eating contest. Now, maybe it's just self-loathing because I know I'm going to have probably a dog or two more than I should. If you're going to have a hot dog today, do not put ketchup on it. That is a culinary crime. But once Kobayashi was not allowed in the competition, I didn't care. I realized Joey Chestnut is a gastronomical freak, but he's not there due to the political divide in the world of competitive eating. So do not call me or tweet me with views on what's going on in the realm of hot dog eating as much as our outstanding technical producer, Art Martinez, is not listening to a word I'm saying because he's engrossed with the action in Coney Island. I could make the argument, transition, that there is more drama potentially with a new champion to be crowned with Joey Chestnut not in Brooklyn, not part of the proceedings. Who's going to walk away with the coveted golden mustard? More inherent tension in that quote-unquote competition. And look, let me just back up for a moment. I'm not pretending that I'm better than the hot dog eating contest. As a person or a broadcaster, if you have any idea who I am, I'm Brian Weber in for Rich Eisen. We're live on this 4th of July. Hop aboard at 844-204-7424 or slide over to the X platform, BW Weber, Weber with two Bs. I have done water polo, men's and women's. I have called horse jumping in Wellington, Florida. I have done arm wrestling at the Plaza Hotel in Las Vegas. Should I keep going? I have called field hockey. I have called bowling. Not once, but twice. Not only was it bowling, it was college bowling. So I am a broadcast courtesan. If there's a check to be had, I will get on the plane, fly there, pick it up, and call your event. I handle weddings, birthdays, and bar mitzvahs. I just don't care about competitive eating. I guess I finally am drawing the line in my mid-50s. I used to care a great deal about NBA free agency. And if you've had to endure me every step of the week so far, because I've been with you Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, thanks to the generosity of Mr. Eisen, you might have gotten the sense that I fancy myself as a poor man's NBA insider. Not the case. I just love basketball aesthetically even more than I love football, understanding that football pays the bills. And the only reason I'm here is that I work with Rich at NFL Network and I've done other things connected to the National Football League. But if I'm just talking about what I want to watch, I prefer to watch a basketball game than a football game. I just think it's better action. It's more constant. It was one sport I could play a little bit in the backyard. I gave up on football in the sixth grade because I had no talent whatsoever. I could play horse with my old man when I was 15. And as somebody who has handled these shifts for the better part of a decade in the early stages of July, the NBA dominated the conversation because we had big names to talk about. And beyond, say, the summer of Durant or LeBron taking his talents not only to Miami, and then to Cleveland, and then to here in the Southern California region, there was always someone to build the conversation around. And then you got to the next tier of names, and they were compelling. Not the case this year. And I'm not just zigging when the world is zagging, because as I mentioned, if you've been with me day one, day two, day three, now day four, it should come through that I'm really passionate about basketball, and I follow it closely, and I do like to go through the scenarios and the dominoes that fall based on transactions. But what did we have to talk about this week? And this is not a shot at Paul George or Klay Thompson, but beyond them, absolutely nothing for a casual fan stood out. And I think, unfortunately, this is by design. Now, some of it comes down to just the luck of who was up contractually. And again, I don't want to come across as anti-Paul George, because I do think Philadelphia played things perfectly. And I keep going back, it sounds like I'm a member of the Daryl Morey fan club with a slide rule in my hand, and I'm going through algebra when I'm not on the air. But I just respect Morey immensely because he's a bright guy who's always two moves ahead of the competition, just like Sam Presti in Oklahoma City. If you become an NBA personal executive and Sam calls, let it go right to voicemail. Because I could make the argument, as I did yesterday, the additions of Caruso. And if you're a Laker fan, and you can give me a call at 844-204-7424, tell me precisely what your team has done in this offseason to get better. And I can tell you the answer is nothing. Because as of right now, with other moves potentially pending, the only additions to the roster are first-round pick Dalton Kincaid, who I like more than other people because I actually watch college basketball. I thought that was a steal at number 17 for the Lakers to get him, mostly because it was good fortune. They never thought he'd still be there. He dropped on their big board. And go back to him being a volume shooter and scorer in Tennessee, led the SEC in scoring last year, SEC Player of the Year. That's a nice addition. The other new face on the roster, Bronny James, and I just can't have that conversation again today. It has become tedious. It has become tiresome. I think it is self-evident that Bronny being on that team, not only on his way to the G League, but having the distinction of being a second-round pick who got effectively 3.5 years of guaranteed money. I won't get into the minutiae of how that breaks down, but he got more guaranteed money than virtually any other second-round pick who went as deep as he did at number 55 in the draft because of his last name, and he never should have been drafted. If the Lakers wanted to have him on the ability to play his way onto the roster or have him there at training camp on his way to the G League, they could have invited him as an undrafted free agent, as was the case for Austin Reeves years ago, who has competed his way into the starting lineup. It's the same exact starting five for the Lakers because they have botched free agency thoroughly because it is a poorly run franchise that has not only thrown the keys to LeBron James, but they've given him total control. So Bronny James is on that team as a second-round pick because his old man wanted it to be that way. And J.J. Redick is the head coach because LeBron wanted his podcast co-host and red wine drinking buddy to be the bench boss. And I do think that LeBron might have been open to taking quote-unquote less if the Lakers could have found someone, anyone, to take their money. But Klay Thompson, whose old man was a part of the Showtime Lakers and still is part of the franchise as their longtime radio analyst, Klay said, thanks, but no thanks. I'd rather go to Dallas. And he made the right decision undeniably because there's more reporting from ESPN and Ramona Shelburne, an outstanding basketball journalist, saying that Klay viewed the Warriors as analogous to the Lakers. And that if the Warriors didn't want him back and he was willing to go down to about $20 million for 2 years, so $40 million all in, and the Warriors kept saying, we can't make a decision now. They kept slow playing it, which effectively, if you don't get a yes, you're getting a no. And you can file that into your personal life if you're still out there looking for someone to hang out with. If you're looking for a significant other on July 4th, that would be depressing. Do not get on a dating app, although there's a lot of lonely people out there. Klay said, I'm leaving a dysfunctional situation now in Northern California, an aging roster with one star in Steph and a complimentary player in Draymond Green. And what am I going to do? I'm going to join the Lakers, who have two stars, and I can't bash Anthony Davis other than his health concerns throughout his career. And remember, If you combine the number of games LeBron and AD played last year, it adds up to over 140. They were healthy, and they were still a play-in team that was one and done, getting swept round one by the Nuggets in the playoffs. So Clay said, I don't want to be a part of that situation. Instead, he joins a team that made an unlikely run to the NBA Finals. They're ahead of schedule, and he can be the third option with no pressure whatsoever. Also got a nice payday with the three-year contract, and you can always throw in the kicker of no state income tax in Texas. Put it all together, nothing has changed for the Lakers, and you're either getting better or you're getting worse when the competition has improved. I mentioned OKC, the top seed led by a dynamic young star in Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. They get Caruso and they get Hartenstein because Sam Presti knows what he's doing, and Rob Pelinka has done nothing other than clean up the mess of the Russell Westbrook deal, which never should have been made in the first place. So I can't give him much credit for rectifying a horrendously misguided decision that he made himself. If you knock over all the china in my house and you help me clean it up, I'm not giving you a high five. You're responsible for your actions, and that's why the Lakers continue to be the morass that they are, because they are a rudderless organization that has given total control to the king, who, come to find out, got every single dollar he could with a max contract, and he's going year by year to hold the hostage situation in a holding pattern one more time with the Lakers, because they're beholden to LeBron next year when he opts out, and he'll threaten to leave again. And more to the point, when he opts out, he'll get more money because the salary cap is going up. But if I mention the salary cap, that gets me to the dreadfully boring conversation of a collective bargaining agreement. And I'm sure I've already lost you, so let me do my best to salvage the program after we have taken the long and winding road to get here. Mentioned it yesterday with Kurt Heelan of NBC Sports. Part of the lack of action this week is not only because the names weren't that sexy, and Paul George to Philadelphia is hugely impactful. Philadelphia now, in my estimation, becomes the second best team in the East, although there's still a substantial gap between them and Boston. And if you're a Knicks fan, you're going to say, hey, radio man, whoever you are, what about us? Knicks did outstanding work in this offseason. Love the deal for Mikal Bridges. They are prioritizing culture and the team concept. And importantly, they locked up OG Anunoby, so they're running it back with the same core, and they'll get a healthier Julius Randle, who, of course, missed the postseason. So I'm not burying the Knicks. I just have to give credit to Philadelphia for amassing a war chest of cap space, targeting the best available free agent, although he's 34, and he's never even reached the NBA Finals in Paul George. And if you're thinking about the liabilities of Paul George, health concerns pop up because he's been breaking down physically more often in recent years, and he's going to a franchise that has their entire outlook hinging on Joel Embiid, who's a transcendent talent, already won an MVP, but unfortunately, he can never stay healthy. Still, Paul George to Philadelphia, moving the needle, and that was the splashy move early on. We knew once he decided to move to the Sixers, Clay was on the clock. That got settled pretty quickly. In fact, that was on the air Monday. It happened within the final 20 minutes of the program. Okay, that gets us to Tuesday. In a normal free agency window, there's a longer runway. But because of who was available and because of, I've been avoiding it, now I have to get into the CBA, what is happening is by design. The NBA has killed the drama that was associated with their free agency period because of this new collective bargaining agreement. And even if you are a casual fan, you've heard this term now, second apron. I am not an accountant. I would recommend if you have $4, spend the money on the accountant. They can help you in a variety of ways. Uncle Sam can be devious, so do not wind up on the wrong side of the IRS. But in terms of this second apron terminology, what it means is this: the luxury tax did not do enough to slow down the big spenders. So the small market teams came together and they got enough support from teams that do have the economic firepower, like Denver, who has done nothing since winning the title last year. They let Bruce Brown go. And then in this cycle, they let Kentavious Caldwell-Pope go because they didn't want to wind up on that second apron. When you get there, it becomes virtually impossible to make any deals. You can't do the sign and trade. You can't buy a draft pick. And the whole point of that was to have more competitive balance in the league. I understand that's a good goal, but the NBA, in my estimation, has grown in popularity because they took over the summer and they had a whole week to themselves. Instead, what do we really have in free agency? 36 hours? And that's that. And I cannot get excited, as much as I love this stuff, tracking where is DeMar DeRozan going to go as he hits 35 next month. And don't say the Lakers, because the only way that works financially because of this second apron nonsense is the Lakers would have to trade D'Angelo Russell to get DeRozan, and I don't think the Bulls, even with all their dysfunction, would be dumb enough to take that contract coming back. So the NBA had a goal in mind, and owners can run their league any way they want to. But the consequence of this new collective bargaining agreement was they have killed what used to be a week filled with drama, tension, unpredictability, and now we had one big move in Paul George, and then the complimentary transaction in Klay Thompson. And after that, a whole lot of nothing. And look, we can talk about where Lauri Markkanen is going to go. And I spent a lot of time in Arizona. I am part of a family group that owns a home in Tucson. I watched him play for the Wildcats. I am well aware of his versatility. I just can't get that worked up over where he might go. Plus, we know Danny Ainge is a masterful negotiator. If, say, the Warriors or Kings are going to extract Markkanen from Salt Lake City, they're going to have to give up a lot in return to get him from Utah. I'm Brian Weber, in for Rich Eisen. The reason I am live is to be interactive with you. 844-204-7424 is the phone number. BW Weber, Weber with two Bs. To demonstrate that I am backing away from the NBA. They lost Bill Simmons and they lost me. That's it for the basketball conversation in this first hour of the program. In fact, I have so much football and baseball coming up, we may not get back to it until hour number three. So if you're not a hoop head like I am, I'm trying to offer a full-service radio program, especially when you have more exciting things to be thinking about, primarily what's coming up on your grill. A reminder, fill the grill and fire up your party on this 4th of July. Get the Weber Searwood Pellet Grill. Smoke, roast, and sear all on the same grill. Go from low and slow on smoke boost mode at 180 degrees all the way to high heat sear at 600 degrees. Getting hot in here. It's got a full great sear zone so you can put more food on the flame. Food will look as good as it tastes. This grill gets hot in 15 minutes. Cleanup is easy. You'll cook on two levels at the same time, so you can make enough for everyone at your holiday party. And you can add a heavy-duty rotisserie or rust-resistant griddle insert. Get fired up for your new Weber Searwood Pellet Grill, the ideal purchase this time of the year. You can head over to the X platform. I check your tweets during the break. That is BW Weber, Weber with two Bs, because I got fired up for some reason about the collective bargaining agreement in the NBA. In less than 20 minutes now, we talk NFL with Trevor Sikkema of Pro Football Focus. Straight ahead, I appreciate history. That was my monkey trick to get into this industry 35 years ago. Today, I would be replaced by a search engine. So I mentioned July 4th to me is always synonymous with Lou Gehrig's remarkable speech, and it got me thinking about other historical developments on Independence Day. So, two men were born on the 4th of July who proved to be two of the most impactful figures in sports history. Who were they, and will we ever see anything like them again? That is a professional tease on a holiday. I'm Brian Weber, having a great time with you. Just getting warmed up on this Thursday edition of the program. We roll on The Rich Eisen Show.
Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people. You love their jingle. You're going to love their friendly, helpful service even better because they're in the business of keeping your car on the road. And the parts knowledge they have, it's all you need for your maintenance and repairs. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll find you just the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fixed, or quick service? They'll help you there and find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. So stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/EISEN. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Hey, everybody, this just in. It's summertime. It's time to go and do all those summer things, like going to a baseball game during the summer. I'm about to do exactly that, and I know exactly what to do, and you should too. You should go look forward to making new memories this year by going to a ball game using Game Time, the authorized ticket marketplace of Major League Baseball, which makes getting tickets faster and easier. Prices on the Game Time app actually go down the closer it gets to the first pitch, so you can wait to buy your tickets with killer last-minute deals. The all-in prices feature, you get to see how much everything is before you purchase. Views from your seat, you know exactly where you're getting your seat, and the view of the field from it. Their lowest price guarantee, of course, that's Game Time. Takes the guesswork completely out of buying MLB tickets. Download the Game Time app. Create an account and use my code EISEN for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.co for restrictions. Again, create an account. Redeem my code EISEN for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed.
Welcome back to the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network. I'm Brian Weber, and I'm proudly sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. 844-204-7424 is the phone number. Getting good interaction on the X platform today. Let's keep that going. BW Weber, Weber with two B's. And if you have an opinion and you feel confident, I realize I use a lot of big words and I speak quickly, I will give you the platform. The floor is yours if you pick up the phone. We will go with brevity here because Uncle Brian got on a roll there talking about the NBA's boring free agency cycle. And I have one quick footnote on that. But coming up in 10 minutes now, we'll talk NFL with Trevor Sikkema of Pro Football Focus. The whole contradiction of the CBA slowing down transactions is this. It was unnecessary because we already had remarkable parity across the NBA. Think about it. The Celtics winning this year means we've had six different champions over the last six seasons. That has not happened since the late 1970s. I will not go through all 30 NBA teams, but even the dregs of the association has at least one star. We've never seen the big names spread around the league more evenly than today. So what's really happening is rich people try to hang on to every dollar they can. And I don't want to get political on the 4th of July, but that seems like a parallel to what we see in daily life. So for example, I mentioned the Nuggets. Their ownership group, led by Stan Kroenke, has Walmart money, and they spend every dollar they want to on the Broncos. That's the other side of the family. How much money did they eat to let Russell Wilson go to Pittsburgh because Sean Payton dropped the hammer on Russ because Sean's got total control of the organization? So you can spin things any way you want to and talk about competitive balance. To me, This came down to ownership putting guardrails in place to allow them to spend less, understanding that the players are guaranteed a portion of total revenue, and now this is getting really tedious. I love sports history, love history in general, and now I've been replaced by a search engine. So as someone who was sat in this very chair, if you follow me on X, you can head over and check out the behind-the-scenes photo I posted. I'm in a studio that I first occupied in 2012. So I've been in the same chair. In fact, I'm having flashbacks to Memorial Day 2 years ago when this chair was so poorly elevated. I got a sciatica. That's how much I love this industry and love sitting in for Rich and the other shows that I'm proud to be affiliated with. But as someone who's been here on many July 4ths, I can't help but to think about what's in the back of my mind. And if I think July 4th, I instantly think Lou Gehrig. And if you've never listened to the speech, I've said in the past I played it. That's too self-indulgent. Also, I think I was being lazy years ago, just to be upfront with you. If you've not heard the words from Lou Gehrig delivered on this day in 1939, do yourself a favor and listen later today. It's just the most eloquent, heartfelt, impassioned reflection on a career that was cut short tragically. And I hate to be as cliched as to say it puts things in perspective, but the way Lou handled that, knowing he was on his way to a certain death, is just remarkable. At the same time, because I want to have some levity on a holiday, if you do follow me on the X platform, BW Weber, Weber2Bs, I reposted from the great Old Takes Exposed feed evidence that hot takes are not new. After that speech, some columnist in New York came up with this take. Personally, I don't care what Gehrig has got. And he goes on to say, essentially, that Lou was faking a disease because his production was slowing down. Here is the money quote. It seems to me that Gehrig was merely getting too old to play hell-for-leather baseball and that the scientists of ailments or advertising gave him a graceful exit. You talk about a bad take. So whatever talking head show you despise, whoever this fellow was in 1939, forget about a Mount Rushmore. This man has his own continent to himself in terms of horrendous perspectives. But since I mentioned the historical angle, and if you think about sports birthdays, and this is lame, but these things stick in my head, December 30th, the prominent day in terms of impact performers that stand out across the world of sports. That's LeBron James and Tiger Woods sharing a birthday and a receding hairline. July 4th, the birthday of both George Steinbrenner and Al Davis. And if you think about two of the greatest mavericks in sports history, and you think about two men who, however you viewed them, and they did a lot of things that were less than stellar, especially George Steinbrenner. Remember, he was convicted of a crime for trying to bribe Richard Nixon. Then he was banished from baseball because he paid off a weasel named Howie Spira to dig up dirt on Dave Winfield because he was so pissed he gave Dave all that money and he didn't deliver, called him Mr. May famously. Steinbrenner, for all of his foibles and weaknesses, so desperately wanted to win, he was all in. And who was more all in than Al Davis? And yes, Al at the end was a shadow of himself. But if you think about bigger-than-life personalities, the boss and the Godfather jump immediately to the forefront of my mind. And I do think sports has gotten too corporate. I'm not saying everybody has to be a tyrant like George Steinbrenner and Al Davis were. But sports was better, talking as somebody who's been around for a few minutes, when we had these bigger-than-life personalities who were so committed to winning they would do whatever it takes, even if they had to maybe bend a law or two. I'm Brian Weber in for Rich Eisen, or they would sue Pete Rozelle and win in the case of Al Davis. Let's not bring up the topic of Irwindale because I'm here in Southern California. Coming up, we'll get to the baseball in less than 25 minutes. Ohtani and Judge are absolutely taking things to a new level. We'll give you context at the start of hour number two, straight ahead. I promise football will get there presently. Every year we see a team go from worst to first. Who's going to be the most improved club this season? Looking forward to checking in with Trevor Sikkema of Pro Football Focus. I'm Brian Weber, in for Rich. We continue live on the 4th of July on The Rich Eisen Show.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwoodone, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwoodone now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwoodone.
It's kickoff time, and Believe Podcasts are here to get you ready for the season.
He wanted to change the culture, and he wanted me to be a part of that.
With Believe, you get immediate reactions, game previews, and expert analysis from all 32 teams, plus all of your favorite college teams.
He's just rare in just about everything he does.
Sideline to sideline, end zone to end zone.
This was good for everybody.
Just search Believe, that's B-L-E-A-V, podcast, wherever you listen.
I'm Brian Weber, in for Rich Eisen. Appreciate you spending part of your July 4th with us. 844-204-7424 is the phone number, or hit me up on X, BW Weber, Weber with two B's. This is the football show of record, so always a pleasure to get the insights from one of the best in our industry. It's Trevor Sikkema. Check out his outstanding work at Pro Football Focus, and be sure to enjoy the NFL Stock Exchange podcast. Trevor, greatly appreciate you taking the time on a holiday. How are you?
I am doing fantastic, Brad. I appreciate you having me on the show.
Always a pleasure. Did you happen to catch the debut of the off-season edition of Hard Knocks spotlighting the Giants?
I only saw some of the clips. They were the draft clips, so that's actually what gets me the most excited as a draft guy. You know, they're sitting there on the sideline of the Senior Bowl, and they're basically making trades just like any of us will, which is funny, right? I mean, we listen to those clips, and we go, wait a second. These guys are operating NFL teams like I operate my fantasy football team. They're just sitting there with their buddies throwing crap at the wall and seeing if it sticks and, you know, kind of going from there. So it's always fascinating to me how some of the biggest trades in one of the biggest sports industries in the world, that's how it begins. That's how it starts. And then you kind of flesh it out. You get a lot more data and some people involved. But those are the clips I've seen so far. So I got to check out the full episode.
And when you do, you'll get a sense. And it was obvious from the outside what the Giants were thinking about Saquon Barkley. But a lot of talk about running backs now hitting the wall at the age of 27, 28, when 30 used to be the magic number. And we know that economics drove this decision. So from a football standpoint, what do you think the Eagles offense looks like with the addition of Barkley?
Yeah, no, I think it's, I think we'll get to, I want to talk about the Eagles in a second, but I can link this a little bit to another clip that I saw from the Hard Knocks show with the Giants where, you know, they were kind of sitting in that room and they were talking about Barkley and they were talking about his value of bringing him back. And I think both Joe Shane and Mara were on the same page and they're like, oh, well, he's a good player. We'd love to have him back. But, you know, Shane even says at one point, they were not paying Daniel Jones $40 million just to hand off football. So now all of a sudden you do kind of get into this situation where even these really good running backs, there's only so much of the piece of the pie that can go to running backs because you're giving more money in the salary cap to quarterbacks. And if you're doing that, well, you want the ball in their hands more. Sure, I think it's all compliment and it's all well and good when head coaches say that they want to be as balanced as possible. But at the end of the day, you're also balancing the books too. You're also balancing where the money's going, and you're hoping that the money reflects the value of what a player brings to the team. And so that sort of thing is obviously fascinating when it goes into it. But now that with Barkley on the Philadelphia Eagles, I'm really excited about this because he just has not had the same sort of efficiency since that 2018 rushing season that he had as a rookie. And, you know, the thing that I like about the most with the Eagles, it's sort of an obvious, but it needs to be stated. Saquon Barkley is going to be playing behind one of the best offensive line that he's played in his entire career. Eagles have been a top three run blocking unit in the NFL over the last two seasons. Even with Jason Kelce out, I think that they're still a top five group, absolutely. And in the last 2 years, they have had two separate 1,000-yard backs with more than a 4.4 yards per carry in Miles Sanders and then DeAndre Swift. And now you got a new guy in there, but history tells us this Eagles offensive line, this Eagles offense, you can still get a guy to produce. So now you get a player who's even more talented in there. I'm very excited about what he can be with this team, specifically though, as a receiver. Feels like we haven't seen Saquon Barkley as a receiver in as effective as a rate as we did since that rookie season. So I think we'll see a lot better, more of that, I should say, in Philadelphia.
I'm Brian Weber in for Rich Eisen, taking you across the NFL with Trevor Sikkema. Be sure to check out his stellar analysis on ProFootballFocus.com. Trevor, in the world of sports talk, we spent a lot of time using words like deserve. So you know it works for quarterbacks, getting back to the economic component, whoever's next gets paid. So Jared Goff and Trevor Lawrence have reset the market, and Tua and Dak Prescott are on the clock. From what you see on the tape and what the data-driven analysis tells you, where is Tua Tagovailoa at in this stage of his career?
Look, when it comes to data and sort of our metrics and our grades, you know, those are things that are grading efficiency. They're grading how you perform in an offense, what you're kind of being asked to do, how successful you are. It's hard to find many quarterbacks over the last two seasons better than what Tua Tagovailoa has been in Mike McDaniel's offense. Last year, he had the highest passing grade of any quarterback at 88.9. He had 35 big-time throws, which is third best in the league. And so when it comes to operating that offense in an extremely high level, he's able to do that. Now, you could sit here and say, oh, yeah, he's got all these athletic running backs to hand the ball off to. He's got Tyreek Hill. He's got Jaylen Waddle. Well, I agree with you, but he's still putting the ball in those guys' hands. He's still facilitating that. Now, the issue that you get into, and if you're playing devil's advocate, whether, you know, you use the word deserved or is he valuable enough for that next record-setting contract, his turnover-worthy play rate was still higher than every single quarterback in the top five when it came to those big-time throws. So, yeah, you have those quarterbacks who are at the top of the category, but those guys are normally throwing the ball at a high ceiling rate, but their floor is a lot higher, it seems like, than Tua's is. Because with Tua, the problem is that when it goes awry, right, what happens when it's not according to plan in McDaniel's offense? Tua had one of the fastest time to throws of any quarterback last year, 2.33. And that means that he knows exactly where the ball is going before the ball is snapped, because him and McDaniel are very in sync. And he kind of sees the offense. He sees the offensive play call and he goes, yes, this is where the ball is going. And it's kind of a real sign that McDaniel just understands offense so, so well. But it's those times when Tua has to adjust or change course or play under pressure that he starts to really struggle. There starts to be a really big drop-off. And I think a lot of people out there would tell you that's where the value should be. It should be in what a guy is going to give you when it's not going according to plan. And I could agree with that sentiment, but at the end of the day, he is producing at such a high level that he gives Miami a chance to win the division, make playoff runs. Who knows if it's a Super Bowl, but you know, you get to that point and it's just, you cannot let that type of a player out of your building, I don't think. So it's just the cost of doing business with quarterbacks that you give these guys the next biggest contract.
And now it's up to the Dolphins to play better in the month of December and play better against teams with winning records. We're taking you around the NFL with Trevor Sikkema, Pro Football Focus. Trevor, we know the entire business model of the NFL is built on parity. Every year, at least one team goes from worst to first. Last year, Houston rises up from three victories to reach the divisional round of the playoffs. So as you survey the league, are there a team or a handful of teams that jump out to you on a list that could be the most improved clubs?
Yeah, no, I think that there's three that immediately come to mind when I think of teams that are really improved, that can really make some noise as soon as this season. The Commanders are one of them. I know the division's tough. Dallas, obviously, is playing really well. Philadelphia, I think, is going to be able to be strong once again, even though they didn't finish the year last year nearly as strong. I think the Giants are going to be a little bit better. But, man, I'm a big Dan Quinn guy. I thought it was a long time coming that Dan Quinn kind of deserved another head coaching gig. I'm excited for him in Washington. They now have Jaden Daniels at quarterback. And, of course, it's going to be its ups and downs like it is with every single rookie quarterback. But a ton of moves in free agency to really reset the core of that team. A really impactful draft class that I am very, very excited about, even beyond just Jaden Daniels. And so I think Washington could really make some noise this season. The next team, it's because of their new head coach. It's the Los Angeles Chargers. Now, the Chargers roster, top to bottom, I mean, even with Justin Herbert in there, it's not one of the best rosters in the NFL, if I'm just kind of speaking bluntly there. But I have so much faith in Jim Harbaugh. He has just been a winner everywhere. Stanford, winner. San Francisco 49ers, winner. Michigan, winner. At the highest level, taking these teams to elite bowl games and Super Bowls and national championships. He is one of the best football coaches that we have on the planet, and now the Chargers have them wearing a Chargers hat and being in charge of that organization. So for him being the guy who's leading the charge there, I think that he is somebody who I have a ton of faith in. I think that they're going to surprise some people this year. You know, I don't think it's going to be a playoff berth for them, but that team's going to turn around pretty quickly, even with all the turnover that they had this past year. And then the last team I'll shout out is the Arizona Cardinals. Cardinals last year, I get it. They didn't win a lot of games. And, you know, they're still in that building block part of their rebuild here. But, man, they look a lot more competitive than I thought they were going to last year. They looked like they were much further ahead of their timeline than I thought when I was looking at that roster on paper. I mean, they had two first-round picks going into last year. And on our mock draft simulator at PFF, we had them projected to get the number one and the number two pick. Now, one of them was the Texans, and obviously you mentioned Texans took a big leap, but Arizona didn't get that number one pick either. And I think it's how competitive they look under Jonathan Gannon and under their new leadership and where that direction is going with Monty Austin Ford as the general manager. So those are three teams that I'm really excited about, not just for 2024, but beyond as well.
Trevor, I always learn something every time we have the opportunity to chat, so I really appreciate you taking the time on the 4th of July. Great information as always, and I hope you have a great holiday weekend.
I appreciate it, Brian. You as well, my friend.
Trevor Sikkema is outstanding. Check out all of his great content at Pro Football Focus, and if you enjoy the audio experience, and I can presume that, you're listening to me on a holiday after all, be sure to check out the NFL Stock Exchange podcast. 844-204-7424 is the number to call. About to reload the X machine, so you tweet at me, BW Weber, Weber with two B's. I spent a good chunk of the final hour yesterday talking about Jim Harbaugh and the Chargers, and I was also up front with you. I have a Charger bias. They rank among my least favorite franchises in all of sports. I can't stand the radio broadcast here in Southern California. They played in a soccer stadium and couldn't sell it out. At the same time, I have to have a degree of objectivity, as Trevor laid out. And you forgot San Diego. Jim Harbaugh won at San Diego, then my alma mater, then the 49ers, then Michigan. Yeah, they probably, I think it's not even a probably. It's documented. They stole signs, but they still were able to get it done on the field. He is a culture changer. And I mentioned Stanford, and I didn't tell this story yesterday. I'll do it briefly. When he was introduced as the head coach at Leland Stanford Junior University, I have good relationships there. I started my career there. I'm an alum. I knew the media relations director at the time who said, "Hey, coach, I need your cell phone number so I can fill out these documents just to make sure we have all the contact info." And Harbaugh looked at me and said, "You don't need my cell number. Just call me at the office." And walked away. And that was Jim. And he won. And he won big. And he's won big everywhere. So when you win that way, you can do it any way you want to. And for once, the Chargers have some relevance. I might have to change my mindset, although I've got a lot of mileage spewing anti-Bolts perspectives over the year. Hour number two straight ahead, talking about the greatness of Ohtani and Aaron Judge. I'm Brian Weber. Happy 4th of July here on The Rich Eisen Show.
Welcome to Talkville,
the Ultimate Smallville Rewatch Podcast, Season 4. I'm glad that it's over.
I'm glad that it's over. As we know now, that Season 5 is supposed to be one of our better seasons.
Obviously, the tattoo storyline, you know how I feel about that.
You hating that storyline brought me a lot of joy because I kept waiting to see how it was going to keep going and then how they would somehow settle it.
Binge Seasons 1 through 4 of Talkville before Season 5 begins, wherever you listen.